Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Concord Biotech Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Now, I hand over the conference to Mr. Sagar Shroff from SGA. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Q1 FY24 earnings conference call for Concord Biotech Limited. Today, we are joined by Mr. Sudhir Vaid, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Ankur Vaid, Joint Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Lalit Sethi, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Prakash Sajnani, Compliance Officer and AVP Accounts. Company has uploaded its financial results and investor presentation on company's website and stock exchanges. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. We will begin the call with opening commentary by the management, followed by question and answer session. I would now like to invite Mr. Sudhir Vaid, Chairman and Managing Director for Concord Biotech Limited, to give his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on our maiden earnings call to discuss the operational and financial performance of Q1 FY24. To begin with, I would like to thank and congratulate all the stakeholders, investors, bankers, and business partners for helping us to achieve a milestone of getting listed on the Indian stock exchanges. We were delighted to see strong response for our IPO. Since this is our maiden call, I would like to first take you through broad industry update and strategy going forward. Followed by this, we will share the operational financial highlights for the quarter, post which we will open the floor for questions and answers. The global API market as of 2022 was valued at approximately $219 billion, which is expected to reach approximately $278 billion by the year 2026, at a projected CAGR of 6.1%. Of the total market, biological APIs accounted for 37% of the share in 2022, and small molecule APIs accounted for the remainder of 63% share. The global API market can be broadly segmented into therapeutic areas such as anti-infective, oncology, immunosuppressants, and others. Of these, immunosuppressants accounted for 7% of the market and is expected to grow by approximately 9.7%, and oncology market, which accounted for 19%, is expected to grow at CAGR of 19.7%. At Concord, we are the market leaders for immunosuppressants and the only supplier in the world having complete portfolio of fermentation-based APIs for the immunosuppressants. Alongside, we have also developed our capabilities into niche fermentation-based APIs in oncology, anti-infectives, and antifungal APIs. The Indian API market, valued at $17 billion, around 1,377 billion in 2022, comprises of APIs manufactured for exports and APIs consumed in formulation by Indian formulation companies. These formulations are domestically consumed as well as exported to the global market. India's growth trajectory of the API market is well cemented for domestic API consumption as well as exports. The total India API market is expected to grow at a CAGR of 11.1% between 2022 and 26. The API consumption for domestic formulations is also expected to drive high demand in the next 4 to 5 years. This growth is in line with the overall growth of pharmaceutical drug consumption in the country. The export during the same period is also expected to grow at a rate of 7 to 9%. Let me touch upon brief history of Concord and its current positioning. Concord embarked on its manufacturing journey in 2000, initially started with production of enzyme with just one manufacturing block, but with an experienced team of biotechnologists, especially in the field of fermentation. Over the years, company has made remarkable strides and currently operates approximately 41 manufacturing blocks across 3 manufacturing units, offering a wide range of products spanning diverse therapeutic areas and segments. Notably, Concord stands out on the global stage as one of the few companies that have effectively and sustainably established and expanded their capabilities in the fermentation-based API manufacturing. Furthermore, Concord proudly holds the distinction of being the only supplier of a complete production portfolio for fermentation-based immunosuppressants APIs. Fermentation as a core component of our manufacturing process presents unique challenges. It involves the intricate management of microbial strains, the precise control of multiple interconnected processes, and the execution of various purification steps. The slightest adjustment to this process can yield significant variations in the final output. As a result, this approach stands in stark contrast to chemical synthesis, requiring a highly specific, scientific and quality-centric approach. As we expand our market presence in the specialized fermentation-based API industry, we took a strategic step of entering into formulation business back in 2016. Our Valthera facility was established with the purpose of producing forward integrated formulation for oral solid doses. Over time, we have successfully developed and are now manufacturing products and catering to both domestic and international markets. At present, our Valthera facility boasts an impressive capacity of approximately 802 million units. Furthermore, as part of our commitment to strengthening our position in the formulation business, we are in the process of establishing an injectable facility. We anticipate that commercial production at this new facility will commence by the first quarter of next financial year. Over the years, Concord has diligently cultivated its capabilities and an extensive range of products, positioning itself at the forefront of the competition. We have steadily expanded our customer base across global markets. This strategic approach has solidified our reputation and enabled us to make deeper inroads by attracting additional customers and further penetrating our existing client base. The production of fermentation-based API is inherently complex, making us one of the very few global suppliers capable of manufacturing a comprehensive range of products under one roof. In recent times, the industry has witnessed significant consolidation of manufacturing activities. Several companies have encountered challenges related to the growth on the back of skill shortages, lack of scalability, and a limited product portfolio. This has presented us with ample opportunities to expand our presence in various markets and geographical regions, ultimately contributing to the growth of our revenues and market shares. Let me share with you the prospects and driving factors within the API market for the Indian companies. Rising prevalence of chronic diseases. India's largest population and diverse demographics has led to a wide spectrum of disease, including chronic conditions. This ongoing trend will continue to drive the demand for API and formulations within the domestic market. Expansion of generic drugs. According to various industry reports, numerous drugs are set to lose their patents between 22 to 26. This presents a significant opportunity for increased product volume and growth, creating a higher demand for the corresponding APIs. Surge in formulation exports. India currently stands as one of the largest drug manufacturers globally. Indian pharmaceutical companies consistently secure 30 to 35% of ANDA approvals annually, establishing themselves as reliable exporters of generic drug formulation to regulated market. As Indian firms continue to expand their export capacities, the demand for relevant APIs will also see an upswing. Adoption of the China Plus One strategy. Countries worldwide are actively diversifying their sourcing options, reducing dependency on single suppliers, particularly those from China. This dynamic opens up substantial opportunities for the Indian pharmaceutical companies to emerge as alternative suppliers for both regulated and unregulated markets, leveraging their high capabilities and focus on innovation. Supportive government initiative and PLI schemes, concurrently favorable government schemes and the production-linked incentives program have provided a significant boost to the Indian pharmaceutical manufacturing sector. With high runway for growth and improving market scenario, especially for Indian pharma companies, we remain highly optimistic about the future of our company and are confident in our ability to elevate the company to even greater heights. Thank you, and now I invite Ankur Vaid, Joint Managing Director and CEO, to take the discussion further.
Thank you, and a very warm welcome to all the participants on the call. Concord Biotech, an Indian biopharmaceutical company, is holding a very prominent global position in the research and the production of niche fermentation-based APIs. Our expertise extends to various therapeutic areas including immunosuppressants, oncology, anti-infectives and antifungal. We serve more than 70 countries including regulated markets like United States, Europe, Japan and India. Our manufacturing operations encompass two key areas. Firstly, the biopharmaceutical APIs. We employ a combination of fermentation and semi-synthetic products methods to produce APIs that span multiple therapeutic domains, including immunosuppressants, oncology, anti-infectives, and antifungal. The second area is the formulation manufacturing. This encompasses the production of formulations in therapeutic segments such as the immunosuppressants and nephrology drugs, which are critical for addressing healthcare needs in scenarios requiring intensive care. Concord has invested significantly in capacity expansion in recent years. With our new capacities coming on stream, we are in the process of scaling up our API production to serve more customers. We currently have 23 APIs which are commercialized and have filed more than 128 DMFs across several countries for our APIs. Concord offers a portfolio of 7 fermentation-based immunosuppressant APIs like tacrolimus, mycophenolate mofetil, mycophenolate sodium, cyclosporin, sirolimus, everolimus and pimecrolimus. Our strategic focus is on further expanding our API portfolio across therapeutic areas, especially in oncology, where we currently have 6 APIs for global markets, and anti-infectives and antifungal, where we currently have 7 products. Also, we continue to invest in R&D and have a strong pipeline of products under development across therapeutic areas of immunosuppressants, oncology, anti-infectives, which have an addressable market size of $2.5 billion at formulation level. In India, we have a portfolio of 77 approved products across immunosuppressants, nephrology drugs, and anti-infective drugs for critical care. And in addition, we have obtained 4 ANDA approvals for 6 products from the US FDA. We have a pan-India presence through our sales team. We also have a B2B contract development manufacturing organization business where we supply immunosuppressants to the Indian market. Our immunosuppressant formulations are manufactured in facilities inspected and accredited by overseas regulators such as the US FDA and several other emerging market regulatory authorities. Our formulations are also distributed to US and countries in Asia, Africa, Latin America on a B2B basis, primarily through arrangements with distributors. On the manufacturing capability side, we have 3 manufacturing facilities in the state of Gujarat, comprising API manufacturing facilities in Dholka and Limbasi, and a formulation manufacturing facility in Valthera, which were commercialized in 2000, 2021, and 2016 respectively. Our total annual installed fermentation capacity for API is around 1250 meter cube. We have a total of 41 manufacturing blocks and close to 400 reactors at Dholka and Limbasi facilities, which allows us the flexibility in plant configuration to cater to customer demands. Our Dholka facility has been subject to inspections by overseas regulators, including US FDA, Government of Upper Bavaria, Germany, PMDA, Japan, MFDS, Korea, on a periodic basis since 2005. We have an impeccable track record with these inspections. In addition to the regulatory inspections, our Dholka facility has been subject to audits by our customers regarding adherence to their specifications and standards since 2005. With high focus on quality compliance and meeting global regulatory standards, we expect Limbasi facility, which has come up in 2021, to clear regulatory and customer inspections without any hiccups. And this will allow us to cater to the regulated markets. I am happy to inform that US FDA authorities inspected our Limbasi facility from 26th to 30th of June of 2023. And the inspection was successfully concluded with 0483 observations. We now have EIR report for the same. So with this, customers have now initiated qualification of the Limbasi facility. I would also like to highlight that we have only one manufacturing standard across our facilities, which is followed irrespective of the end markets, be it regulated or semi-regulated markets. The annual installed production capacity of our formulation manufacturing facility in Valthera, which was commercialized in 2016, is around 800 million units. The Valthera facility has been subject to inspections by overseas regulators, including US FDA, GMP of Kenya, National Drug Authority of Uganda, FDA Republic of Philippines, and WHO. Further, we are in process of enhancing our capabilities in the formulation manufacturing through our injectable facility. Speaking of R&D, in research and development, we have set up 2 DSIR approved R&D facilities comprising of 148 members, a significant number of whom had hold doctoral qualifications. Our R&D team has showcased its proficiency in moving products, even complex ones, from the R&D stage to full commercialization. Our R&D endeavors are centered on pivotal tasks such as pioneering new product development, enhancing cost effectiveness, refining processes, facilitating technology transfer, and executing scale-up initiatives. We will continue to focus on our R&D in the future to develop new products for domestic and global markets, for our existing and to target new customers. Our product selection assessment encompasses a comprehensive evaluation of factors such as the market potential, competitive dynamics, technical feasibility, and the intellectual property landscape for each prospective product. As of now, we have successfully developed and brought to market 23 fermentation-based APIs with the valuable support of our dedicated R&D team. Furthermore, through ongoing R&D initiatives, we consistently bolster our capabilities for backward integration. This empowers us to internally manufacture APIs, which serve as a pivotal starting material for our formulations. This strategic approach ensures our ability to maintain cost competitiveness and a steady supply for our key products. Talking about our customer base extends across the globe with a presence in more than 70 countries, comprising of over 200 plus customers who rely on our APIs and formulation. Furthermore, we have solidified our partnership with customers through long-term supply agreements. Several of our top revenue-generating customers hold prominent positions in their respective regions. Moreover, our commitment to building enduring relationship is evident from the fact that we have maintained an average customer relationship span of 8 years with our 10 largest customers by revenue. However, as a de-risking strategy, our revenue contribution from top 10 customers stood at approximately 45% in FY23, which was approximately 60% in FY20, while revenues has increased by close to 18% CAGR during the same period. This is a testimony of new customer addition, increasing the share of wallet among existing customers. We have added approximately 50 customers in FY21 and FY22 and have added close to 63 customers in FY23. With high quality niche products, we have been able to successfully add new customers across therapies and geographies over the years. We will continue with our endeavor of adding new customers and increasing in the share of wallet of our existing customers as well. To take you through our strategies going forward, our primary strategy is to continue to increase our market share and develop our portfolio of complex and niche products with high growth potential. API will continue to be the core focus of the business, and we would continue to increase our wallet share among existing customers by selling them existing and new products across therapies. Also, our investments into new manufacturing capacity has enabled capabilities to grow our wallet share from existing customers. Secondly, adding new customers across different geographies with established product portfolio and with commercialization of new products. Thirdly, increase our presence in existing formulations and add new formulations by adding geographical reach, launch of new dosage, expanding product portfolio. And the fourth lever being the growth in the CDMO business. So with the capacity expansion at our Limbasi facility, the China Plus One strategy, and given our expertise in the fermentation area, we see this as a growth opportunity for future growth in the company. And the last growth lever for us being the increased utilization of existing and new facilities by adding more customers, products to be marketed and sold across geographies. With established track record, manufacturing capabilities and expertise, presence across complex fermentation value chain, and global leadership in our select portfolio, we are optimistic of our growth going forward. Now, I will hand it over to Lalit Sethi, our CFO, who will provide further insights on the financial and operational performance for Q1 FY24.
Thank you, sir. I will take you through the financial performance of this quarter. On the revenue front, our revenue for quarter 1 financial year 24 stood at 194.8 crores as compared to 181 crores in quarter 1 financial year 23, representing a growth of 8%. Our API business revenue stood at 85% in quarter 1 financial year 24 as compared to 86% in quarter 1 financial year 2023. The contribution from the formulation revenue stood at 16% in this quarter as compared to 14% in the same quarter last year. Our domestic revenue stands at 54% of the total revenue, and the balance 46% of the revenue is derived from exports. With respect to the EBITDA, our reported EBITDA for quarter 1 financial year 24 stood at 72.2 crores as compared to 64.6 crores in financial year 23 quarter 1, representing a growth of 12%. EBITDA including share of profit from the JV stood at 78.2 crores with a margin of 40.1% and a growth of 100 BPS Y-on-Y. On profit after tax, our profit after tax for quarter 1 financial year 24 stood at rupees 54.5 crores as compared to 49.3 crores in quarter 1 financial year 23, representing a growth of 11%. Our PAT margin stood at 28% in this quarter, a growth of 80 BPS as compared to the same quarter last year. Our net debt as on 30th of June stood at around 25 crores. So with this, I shall now leave the floor open for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Chintan Sheth from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations to the team for the maiden IPO and successful one. Sir, a couple of questions. One on the revenue side. If I look at your exports revenue share has declined, implying, 12% degrowth over the Q1 of last year. Would you like to throw some light what are the reasons for, exports sales being slower than the overall company? And second, in the seasonality, if I look at your quarterly numbers, whatever you have provided so far, Q4 of last year formed almost 32% of the overall full year 23 revenue. If you can also help us understand the seasonality in the business in terms of which quarters, share how the quarterly revenue shape up going forward, and any guidance in terms of what to expect in the coming quarters as well. That is the first one.
I'll just take your first question first, second question first, regarding the seasonality which you have spoken about. If you look at the historical trend, our first half revenue constitute about 35 to 40% of the revenue of annual revenue, whereas the remaining 65 to 70% comes in the second half. So the same principle applies as you have mentioned on the first questions of exports, why it has been, decline in the first quarter, because the exports is expected to grow in the second half of the financial year.
And given that we have historically grown at a high mid-teen number, that will be the expectation from the management, given the capacities are already in place and the products are already in, the new capacities also up and running. At least we expect to grow for the full year. That's how one should look at.
So, Concord should be looked more from on an annual basis rather than being looked from a quarter on quarter basis. Because there could be some amount of lumpiness which could come on a quarter on quarter basis. But as Lalit mentioned, that typically, historically we have seen that quarter three and quarter four, is where, the sales really start to pick up. And so it's basically going from quarter one and then slowly and steadily picking up and having full steam by the end of, by quarter four, because typically quarter three is like a financial closing for many of the export company, many of the foreign companies, and quarter four being that for Indian companies. But that being said, I think, given that we are in a very niche segment and how we are operating, we should be more so being looked from a annual basis than being looked from a quarter on quarter basis. And as rightly said by you, that there are, we have enough capacities at the API as well as at the formulation stage, and a very diverse portfolio of APIs and formulation, which will ensure that the growth aspects that we are looking for this year and going forward will be met.
Right. And if you can talk about the new product development side, you mentioned, touched upon the formulation market size is around $2.5 billion. But if you can, provide at what stage and what will be the likely timeline for those products to come on stream would be helpful.
So we have close to around 8 to 10 molecules which are there in the pipeline across different segments such as the immunosuppressants, oncology and anti-infectives. And one would appreciate that it takes close to around 6 to 7 years to kind of develop the molecule, in the fermentation space. And, there are products which are at different life cycles within the development, R&D development stage. But typically I would say that one can expect around 1 to 2 molecules that would become commercialized based on our historical trend is what I would point out. But, it will be difficult to mention which specific product would become commercial because it will all depend upon the market dynamics about the state at which we are with respect to those molecules.
Sure, Uncle. Thanks for the answer. I will join back in queue for any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your phone now. We'll take the next question from the line of Karan Surana from Monarch AIF. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, sir. So my first question is that could you just elaborate on the potential disruptors or risks that the management can identify as threats to our EBITDA margin stability over the long term? I mean, I'm just trying to ask from like a broader perspective, if there are any external factors or industry trends that could potentially impact our EBITDA margins going forward. Seems like we've been able to maintain healthy EBITDA margins for almost a decade. So just trying to understand whether the sustainability could continue maybe in a 3 or 5 year kind of a period.
So I think one of the major risks that Concord carries, which is, I would say, very much typical to any pharma company, is that of a regulatory risk. This could definitely impact the business of the company. However, I'm happy to say that Concord has had a very good track record with the regulators. As I mentioned, in June of 23, our Limbasi facility was inspected by US FDA and was concluded with 0483 observations. In March of 2023, we were also, our Unit 2 formulation facility was also inspected by US FDA. And last year we were, for unit one, we successfully concluded our Europe and Japan regulatory inspections as well. So while, you know, we have been inspected by regulatory authorities, but still this is a risk that we carry. However, we have a very strong team of quality, QA and QC, which ensures that quality standards are maintained on an ongoing basis. With respect to any other risk, I won't call it a risk, but of course any changes in the macroeconomic conditions could impact you know, companies in the pharmaceutical space, whether it is through changes in certain raw materials or changes to certain you know, power and fuel costs, which could affect us as it would affect any other pharmaceutical company. So I would say that typically those would be the two risks that we look at. In terms of our customers, I believe that, you know, we hold a very, very strong relationship with our customers, and there is a lot of stickiness to the business, given that we operate with them on very niche APIs and have a long-standing relationship with them. So I would say that those two would be the typical risks that we look at.
So thanks for that, sir. I've just looked at your gross margin also, and you know, we maintained 78% to 80% gross margins for almost a decade. So that it would be great, sir, if you could just share some insights on, you know, what key factors or strategies that have contributed to this consistency, or, you know, maybe, you know, before the IPO, you were talking about our low pricing volatility of major carbon-based and nitrogen-based raw materials used in fermentation. So, you know, can you just give some insights on, you know, what strategies or factors are considered critical for this sustainability?
So, you know, as we have discussed in the past, that our raw materials are usually the basic raw materials, which are either agro-based or are the solvents which are typically used in the downstream recovery. And, you know, we have close to 150 to 200 raw materials that are being used for different range of products that we manufacture. So while there could be impact of seasonality on the agro-based compounds, or as I mentioned, due to global changes which could affect the solvents, but then again, you know, it may affect maybe some of the raw materials, because of which there could be an impact, but it could be very, very minuscule because of it being impacting maybe one or two raw materials out of the 150 to 200 raw materials that we use. So you know, the gross margins work in a very, very narrow band, if I would put it, and it is more about the expertise that is needed for the fermentation manufacturing which makes the differentiation there.
Got it, sir. And sir, if I can just squeeze one more, looking ahead, you know, in terms of our revenue growth for the next 3 to 5 years, how do we, you know, see the, you know, leveraging our embassy facility, and if, you know, if you could provide some information on, you know, our target asset turns and capacity utilization, I mean, peak capacity utilization goals for this plant.
Basically, historically, we have been growing at a CAGR of around 18% in the past for last couple of years. And in the last 2 or 3 years, we have also built up significant capacities with respect to the API and the formulations. And we expect to increase the capacity utilization and our growth maybe better than what we have been doing in the past. So historically, we have been growing at a CAGR of around 18%. So going forward, we may improve the growth percentage.
But sir, in terms of any number that we look at asset turns, you know, from the capex, I think it was close to 400, 450 crore, something like that, capex that we did on the Limbasi front. Can we call out what kind of asset turns are we expecting from that?
In fact, in Limbasi, we have invested around 400 crores of money in the capex, and with 450 crores of 450 m³ of the capacity in Unit 1, we are able to generate the revenue of around 600 crores. So with 800 m³ of the capacity, we can basically take it linearly to the level of around 1,500, 1,600 crores of revenue from Limbasi facility.
And sir, what would be a peak capacity utilization? Can it go all the way to 85-90% or 75%, 80%? I don't know.
Around 75-80% will be the right capacity utilization rate for taking.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'll join back in the queue. Thank you for the answer.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Ashish Thakur from IIFL AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So Ankur, just firstly on this injectable capex, almost 200 crore of capex we have built in now. So if you broadly help us understand how should we see the commercial aspect of it, would it be first for the India market and then to the ROW markets? So what are your plans? And say over the next 2 to 3 years, what potential do you see in this business?
So, the injectable project is running on track. And as we had envisaged, and we expect it to be ready by the end of this year and have commercial production by the first quarter of next year. Given that, the idea would be, the plan is to kind of first take it to the domestic market. Because the export market is more of a medium term to a long term strategy for us, because by next year we take the validation batches, put it on stability, do the dossier filing and get the approval. This is typically close to around 12 to 18 months of time period. However, we will be going with the same integrated approach wherein we have quite a few molecules wherein we are the manufacturers of the API, as well as we'll be going for the forward integration to the injectables. So you do not see many companies having that kind of a full integrated approach in some of these niche anti-infectives also, which are through fermentation. But in terms of timelines, I would say that initially we would start with the domestic supplies. And then going forward, they would be, being targeted towards the export market.
Yeah, this is helpful. Lastly on this, obviously our CDMO, and we are, now building on regulatory approvals for this product. So as far as some adjacencies are concerned, say I'm just guessing, probably peptides, steroids, or to that extent some animal healthcare products as well. How are we placed here? Some broader color would be very helpful. Thanks.
So CDMO is definitely an area which is a focus to us, and we now have the capacities in place. We are also building on our regulatory approvals, and we have a long-standing relationship with our customers as well. So, we are reaching out to customers and working with them to kind of build on the CDMO opportunity. But again, opportunities like these do take their time, because customers wanting to evaluate and shift their complete manufacturing to a new site would typically be a time-consuming activity. But this is something that we are strongly working towards. In terms of other agencies, we are open and looking out for opportunities which kind of have a synergy with respect to the kind of technical capabilities that we have within the fermentation space. So we continue to explore such kind of opportunities where there could be synergies based on our fermentation expertise.
Yeah, this is very helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Alankar Garude from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening everyone. So first question is, how should we look at growth opportunities for us beyond the next 3-4 years? Once the Limbasi facility reaches peak utilization levels, and given the fact that we are present across pretty much all the products in the immunosuppressant space, Should we look at only anti-infectives, antifungals, as well as oncology as growth drivers, or there is something else which we are open to looking at from a longer term time frame?
So we have quite a large number of molecules which are there in the pipeline. As I mentioned, close to 8 to 10 molecules that we are currently working on. What the other growth levers that are there are, of course, the CDMO, as well as us making more gaining more market share for our commercial products. That being said, we are not focused on building on any therapeutic segment only, or not targeting any specific therapeutic segment. As long as we see it matches our criteria that we have internally set up, being complex in nature, being a fermentation product which is complex, having lower competition, products where we can create a global leadership position. As long as it matches these criteria which we have internally defined, we are not therapeutic diagnostic. So we would be open to look at other molecules across different therapeutic segments as well. It just happens to be that some of the molecules that we are currently under development falls within these three therapeutic segments, which is the immuno, onco, and anti-infectives, antifungal. But we are not therapeutic diagnostic to these.
Understood, sir. And if I have to just elaborate on that, you talked about these 8-10 products, but would it be fair to assume that there are many such more products which we can potentially bring in the pipeline, which would be meeting all these criterias of complex fermentation, lower competition, plus opportunity for us to create that global leadership?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's
understood. Understood. So the second question is from 16% contribution for formulations in this quarter, how should we look at the scale up of this segment over the next few years? Do you expect the mix between API and formulations to change meaningfully, say over the next 3 to 5 years?
No. So as we pointed out that we have growth levers in place for both the API and the formulation. So at the API, the new Limbasi facility, which will start ramping up, and at the formulation level, we have ramping up of the oral solid dosage facility and the build-up of the injectable plant. So while the base will continue to grow, we expect the revenue split between the two to be somewhere around 80-20 as we've had in the past. So do not expect any meaningful change in the allocation between the two.
Fair enough. And one final question, if I may, is it possible to share any broad pricing as well as volume trends, at least for our top 4-5 products as seen in the first quarter of FY24?
Unfortunately, we will not be able to share product level data.
Understood. Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Hussein Baruchwala from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. So I just wanted to understand what are the utilization levels for our different plants. If you can just share in regards to our Limbasi site as well as our Vansera site. So what is the percentage utilization?
As far as the percentage of capacity utilization has been, it's 32% in Unit 3 as on 31st of March 2023, and in formulation it is 10%, and in Dholka it is 75%.
On the API Limbasi side, how much percentage did you say, sir?
In API we are operating at a percentage of 75%.
Okay, that's Dholka. 75% in Dholka, and Limbasi?
Limbasi 32%.
32%. Okay. Sir, I just wanted to know, when you say 18% plus growth, do you consider CDMO as also a part, considering that CDMO will an add-on to your overall growth pie?
So, since we do not have any clarity on the CDMO, we have not built that into our growth.
Got it, sir. Got it, got it. And sir, with the Limpasi site getting the US FDA approval, how do you see the growth prospect in terms of your US markets? So, will this accelerate your growth in the US markets? How do you see that, sir?
So, definitely, you know, this will boost our sales to the US as well. But again, this Limpasi facility is for global markets, because as mentioned in the past, that we are working on close to around 70-75% capacity utilization at Unit 1. So, now that we have regulatory approvals in place, this new facility is going to be catering not only to the regulated markets, but for global markets, including India and rest of the world. And newer products that would also come in would also be commercialized at this new site. So, it will definitely boost our US sales, but it would also be used to cater to global markets, as well.
Okay, that was only my question. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sudhir Behera from Right Time Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir, and congrats for the successful IPO. Just as a layman, I wanted to ask, sir, is there a shift in the chemical-based API to fermentation-based API in the coming time? As it's more of a user organic kind of medicine. So what's your view on that?
So I would say that the products which are made through chemistry cannot be made through fermentation, and products which are made through fermentation cannot be made through chemistry. So they are two very different areas
Line.
Of manufacturing. However, we do see more and more interest coming within the fermentation space, because it creates significant barriers to entry, because there are not many global players in this space. So, there is good growth prospect for the fermentation, but it cannot be, interchanged with the chemistry APIs.
Understood. Understood. Thanks for the opportunity and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Karan Surana from Monarch AIF. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So in terms of our competition in the API market, and you mentioned that, Limpasi facility would mostly be catering to our regulated or, overseas markets. So like products like Mycophenolate sodium or Everolimus MS, could you shed some light on those, and could on that on those products and what the competitive landscape looks like? And how do we plan to position ourselves in face of competition from Chinese players or European players who are also present in certain products that overlap our portfolio?
So, Concord holds a leadership position on several of the APIs that we manufacture. And the reasons, of course, are that we have the economies of scale, we have global regulatory approvals, strong technical expertise, and offering a basket of products. So, we are the only company in the world which actually manufactures the entire range of fermentation-based immunosuppressants. So when you have these kind of capabilities and strengths, customers look at working with companies such as ours. And that is the reason why we've been gaining market share year-on-year basis. And when we talk about such kind of niche, highly complex products, you typically do not see much competition coming from China. As a matter of fact, that we are commercially, we have now got approvals in China to sell our products, our APIs, which shows that, and customers are also showing interest in terms of, partnering with us for the API, which kind of shows the kind of advantages and the kind of strength that we have on the APIs, even with respect to some of the Chinese players. And when we talk about the European counterparts, European competition, people now are talking more about the China plus one and the Europe plus one strategy because of what is happening at the global footprint with the Russia-Ukraine war, the power costs and other things, and the salaries have gone up quite significantly in Europe. And they are looking at alternate sources which are more reliable and can consistently provide them with these kind of products. So I think we see a lot of companies shutting down in Europe also and other parts of the world. So, you know, we see a lot of consolidation happening at the fermentation API space.
Thanks for the answer. So just last one from my end. So in exports, we did 46%, I think, in Q1 FY24. Can you just bifurcate into what could be, you know, from US, Japan or Europe, like regulated markets, and what could be our share from non-regulated markets?
So basically around 17% of the revenue in the export, in the total revenue, comes from the US market, and the balance comes from rest of the world.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just on the strategy aspect with respect to, you know, into formulation, given that we have leading market share in the API, in each case at a global level. So, and as we get into formulation, so there would be more of the cannibalization or let's say more internal consumption of the API for formulation. So, will that have an impact on the API growth? That is first. And secondly, given that we also now get into formulators, so does that impact the customer's way of looking at us from the point of view of API procurement? These two questions.
So, you know, we have been in the formulation business now close to more than 4 to 5 years. And as long as we are supporting our customers with the high quality products at the right price and ensuring consistent supplies and deliveries to them, you know, they do not see any challenge there, because every company understands the strengths that one has. So as long as we continue to support our customers, you know, they don't see that as a challenge. We have not encountered any such challenges from our formulation partners over the last 5 to 7 years since we have been there in the formulation market. In terms of cannibalization, you know, we are not looking at disturbing the market, and we are looking at value creation and opportunities within the formulation space. And that is why, while we are backwardly integrated, we would look at opportunities where we can be there in the market, but at the same time maintain healthy margins for us, rather than going all in and destroying the value for ourselves as well as for our customers.
Okay, sir. And just lastly, how much would be the operational cost for the formulation facility? Operational cost for the formulation facility on the annualized basis?
On the annualized basis, it's around 35 crores.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Chintan Sheth from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the follow-up. Just one question on the Limbasi facility. We got the US FDA approval, right? So I presume that we have not yet started supplying to the regulated market from that new facility and largely catering to the other markets. Does that facility already got approvals from Japanese and European regulators, or is it still working process?
Yes, so we have Japanese FDA approval also for the Limbasi facility. So both Japan and Europe approvals are there for the Limbasi. EU inspection, we currently do not have, but going forward, that could be something that we may consider. In terms of the regulatory approvals, we have had a very good long-standing approvals from the authorities, and of course this is something that we would continue to build on, even so for our Limbasi facility.
Right, right. And given that this facility is currently underutilized, right, what kind of, annualized cost, as you mentioned about the formulation facility, what are the annual OPEX there, given that we are just utilizing 35% of that facility, so there will be operating leverage we might see as the ramp-up happens?
Basically, we are maintaining or making the books on the consolidated level. It will be difficult to find out on the unit-wise, operating cost.
Okay. Sure. And the CapEx guidance for this year and next?
Most of the CapEx has already been done as far as the growth CapEx was concerned. Now it's only the operational CapEx which will be required to be done in the future.
It will be 20-25 crores?
It will be in the range of around 15 to 20 crores of rupees per annum.
Okay. And injectables, we already spent, or this year there will be some cost capitalization?
Yeah, very little amount is required to be spent to complete the project. Majority of the amount has been spent.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a last question from the line of Hussein Baruchwala from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Just one question. I just wanted to understand on the pricing front in the exports market. So how is the pricing in US compared to other markets? So is the pricing better when it comes to US compared to the other regulated and the ROW markets? So how can you just give some clarity on the pricing?
So, the prices are more or less quite similar to what you would have across the globe, because while we see limited competition on our molecules, we still are not in a monopolistic market. So when formulation companies are looking at potential suppliers, they kind of evaluate new suppliers based on which is going to supply, give the best price. So we also have many Indian companies which are targeting the US market, and they have good amount of clarity on what the prices are there in the global markets, including in India being offered by some other manufacturers. So I would say that there is not much of a difference between what the price we offer to Indian versus that to the US.
Got it. So that was the only question myself. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So, thank you everyone for joining our maiden earnings call today. And we hope that we've been able to address all your queries. For any further information, please get in touch with us or SGA, who are our investor relation advisors. So thank you once again, and have a good evening.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Concord Biotech, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.